Here we go. This is what I get excited about. This is one of my favorite subjects that we're going to talk about this morning. The Lord has helped me over the years to get along with folk. You know, listen, I love Englewood. Do I just love the Christians? Are you kidding me? I love the lost folk of Englewood, people that don't go to church. They're my friends. The people, many of them, man, they never darken the door of this place and come and hug my neck. And I hug their neck. I want to see all of them saved. I'm like, I feel like the Lord, God's not willing any should perish, right? Me neither. But I tell you what, the way you win people to Christ is win them. And win their heart. And care. And care about your town. Your friends can be the people that complain about this town. You can get you enough friends to do that. That's your little friends. That's not how I choose to live my life. I love this town. Love this school. Love the elementary schools. Love the teachers that teach. Love the workers that work here. Love the people in the restaurants. Why not? What would you think Jesus would love them? Yes or no? Say. Think he'd be grateful? Say. Sure he would. So my point is, I've been blessed. People can come to church, be in our church for a few years, and even leave because something I say or they want to go to another church for another reason. Listen, I have been blessed to be able to continue to have a great relationship with those people. Most of them. Why? Because why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Why have I got to be bitter, cold, ugly towards anybody? Say yes or no. Why can't I have good relationships? It's a choice I have made. I've gone through some pretty tough times in my life. Over the last 3 or 4 years. But even in those toughest things, it's amazing how you can still have good relationships. Peaceful relationships. And I tell you, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that inside of our families. How many, you're not saying it of yourself, but how many would say, I know some families where the relationships are screwed up? Can I see your hands? And there's, how about this? How about try another question? And there's some anger and bitterness and they don't get along and it's a mess. Can I see some more hands? That's what we're talking about today. Let's talk about it. And I'm not going to rush. We're going to work today. I'm going to take about 30 minutes on this message. We can do it. Let's go with the message now. Give others your best. Obviously, it's a family series. This is great for family and friendships. But it is awesome for business. Guys, you listen to everything I'm saying to you today about it needs to be at Fellowship Church. This is what we need here. It's a must. And I'm telling you, I'm just dogged on this. That this is who we are. Listen to it. Here we go. Let's go with the message today. Give others your best. If you're new today, we use this big old screen. We'll have a big nice one at the new place. And the scriptures are there. And you can see it right here. If you want to find out, oh, I missed something, go to our website. Everything you see today will be on the website. If you need to hear me say it again, you can study it on your own with a PowerPoint, or you can go back and you can watch the same thing all over again, or you can hear it on radio or audio, on your phone, whatever. Amen? We're all over the place. It's incredible what God's done for us. Amen? Let's go with the message, Raj. How can I be my very best in my personal relationships? Now, this is something I've been studying and writing on for years. So I didn't reinvent the wheel on this message. But we added a lot to the wheel today. I want you to see it. How can I be my very what? In relating to who? Others. Let's talk about it. Hope I've got your attention. Are you all right? Say, why don't I have friends? Why can't people get along with me? Why am I alone? Maybe we can find out. Maybe we can learn. Maybe we can help that. Why won't my children talk to me? Why? You know? I don't know. We're going to learn. I'm not saying we'll fix it all. But I guarantee you what we're going to say today is going to push you down the road, somebody. It's going to help you. The word is best. Say best with me. Best. One more time. Best. How can I be my what? See, I don't want to be good at relationships. I don't want to be just better. I want to be the best. I want when people meet Gary Clark as the pastor of Fellowship Church, I know my personality is my personality. I understand all that. I'm an odd guy. I understand all that. I'm from Rockingham. I talk funny. But I want when people meet me, and after they get to meet me, I want them to say, I like that guy. You know? Don't necessarily believe what he believes, maybe. You know? I want to be the kind of person where people can relate to me. Say relate. Relate. I don't want to be the preacher that they can't relate to. I'll let the other preachers be those preachers. Now, God has forced me to almost be that guy through a series of pain and struggles in my life. Amen. And my upbringing. But that's a good thing. God can be glorified in who we are. So this is me. So I don't want to be good, and I don't want to be better. I want to be the best. That's why I call it the best. And this is mine, and I'm going to share it with you. The B in best is bless. What does that mean? I'm not going to take a lot of time. The word means to speak up. Don't speak down words to people. Now, I know I preach, and you come and say, Gary, you're always talking down to everybody when you preach. Well, you got to know me all around, okay? Okay, that's what I do, all right? I'm also coaching. Sometimes you got to get a little ugly. All right, here we go. So, speak up. If you want to be your best in relationship, bless or speak up, not down to people. Number two, the E is edify. It's a Bible word. It means to encourage or, say it with me, what? Build up, not tear down people. Why ain't I good at relationships? Well, let's start real quick. Well, if you're talking down to them, if you're tearing them down, it really ain't their fault. You understand? It's you. Did you hear me? Say. Come on. The S in best is the word sacrifice or give up. Give up. If you want to have better relationships, you're going to have to sacrifice. Did you hear me? Yes or no? It cannot always be your way. Sacrifice. Come on, Dan, sit down. You need this. Are you listening, son? Listen, sacrifice. Say, I love him. That's why I can talk to him like that. Hey, you just talked down to him. That was bad. Well, anyway, you'll get over it. Here we go. Come on. Sacrifice. Are you ready? Sacrifice. Give up. Give up. And give in sometimes and be willing to do that. And relationships are worth that. Did you know that? Your kids are worth that. Your marriage is worth that. Your business is worth that. Yeah, come on, a lot of things are worth it, guys. How about the T? Touch. If you want to give your best, there's the T. Touch. Step up. What do I mean? Step up to the plate. Step up and step toward people. Give it your best. Step toward people. Why is it that we like a pat on the back? You think we made that up? Some man came along one day and patted somebody on the back, and ever since we've been doing it. No, because you know what? There's just something about an arm around us and that pat on the back. When we've done something well, or a dad walking with a son, you did good, son. And that little something right there. Or when you come into Fellowship Church, I had a lady, she's my neighbor. She lives next door to us at the house. Don't know, they moved in 6 months ago. She came in today, they've been coming three or four times, and she says, Pastor, you do church real good. That's what she, yeah, praise the Lord. Would you say praise the Lord? Come on, praise the Lord. That's what she said. You do church real good. And I said, well, you know, the most important thing is that we love you. And she said, I know, when I came in that door, just one hug right after the other. And I was standing at the back, and she said, you do church good. I love that line. That's a good line, amen? Come on. Touching people, hugging people, shaking that hand. But it's more than that. It's that little step that you take and you just move in a little bit. You hear me? Okay, so that's this idea of giving your what? Best. Now we're going to keep moving. This is stuff I've done in the past, but this is important, man. Keep looking. I want to be my best in my personal relationships and in relating to others. Don't go to sleep on me, I'm telling you. This will help you. I want to be my best. Keep going. I want to be my very, very best. Now, what do I need to be if I'm going to do this? I need to be teachable. I need to be teachable. And again, these are things that I've written before, and it's shared with you before. Some of you, most of you probably don't even remember this, but be teachable. What does that mean? In relationships, I can learn. Say that with me. I can what? And some of you today, you need to stop right now and go, you know what? I'm going to listen to Him right now. I don't know it all. Maybe I am the problem. Amen. Say, why not? As we coach and we get on the ball field. Man, if a kid comes and he thinks he knows it all and he's jacked the best or whatever, you know, Charlie, they never work out usually, do they? Be humble, man. There's other people that know some stuff. And this stuff is from the Word of God, man. This is awesome stuff. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Amen? So learn. I can learn. You got to think that way. I can what? What's the word? I can conform. Are we called to conform to the image of Christ? Is that what the Bible says? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Oh, yeah. If anybody knew how to work with people, it was Jesus. Oh, my gosh. And we're going to see it here in a little bit. But these are just some things before we get to the Scriptures. Would you say this with me? I admit I don't know it, especially in the area of relationships. I mean, I don't know it all. Be teachable. Be willing to learn. Be willing to be better. How about us as a church? Let's learn. Let's be better. Let's be better. How about this? How about us be the best? How about us be the best church? How about us be the best in the area of relationships than any other church? How about us be the best? Why can't we be? Say. Why can't when they walk in here, they say something's different about this place? How many would say that? You've been with us a while, but when you walked into here, you would say, well, there's something different about fellowship. Can I see your hands? And guys, they're not saying it was the preacher. We know I'm different. They're saying there's something different about you. That's great. The word will go a lot further as I preach it if we've loved on them when they sit there. Amen? Come on. So be teachable. Number two, be vulnerable. It's something we don't like to do. Say that with me. I can what? Lose. Okay? I can get out of my comfort zone. It's okay. It's okay in relationships to lose. It's worth it. It's worth being able to relate to people if somewhere along the way you get hurt. If somewhere along the way, you know, you get hurt because they fall away. They fall away from you. There's pain. There's being vulnerable. That's a good thing. Being vulnerable, if you want to be the best in relationships, say this down, say this with me. I will let what? Down my what? We're so walled, not going to let you in because we've been hurt. Or we haven't ever been taught. We've been talked down to. We don't know. This is how I live. So this is the way I am. You accept me just like this. Well, greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let down that guard. Let people in. If you want to be your best, be what? Approachable. What does that mean? I cannot learn. It's the word I can what? Lean. Approachable people are leaning towards people. I mean, don't walk around like this. But the point is, why be way over here? Why not be the first one to go? Why not? Say, lean in towards people. Some people give off this air. Standoffish. Sometimes that also comes across as you think you're better than me. You ever met people like that? They come across and they think you think they're better than you. How you feel about that? Well, where from I come from, I want to hit them in the head. See, we're not guys. As a member of the body of Christ, as a person who's a saved member of as a child of God, as our church is in the head of your family and loving your family, whatever it might be. Listen, this is huge, man. You kids, why don't you lean in, get down on their level, look in their face, say, this is incredible. I can lean. I can what? Convey what? So be approachable. Be a person people want to come to. Be a person that somebody wants to say hi to. Well, you didn't say hi to me. Well, you didn't look like you wanted hi said. You hear me today? Am I driving you up a wall? It's okay. Here we go. I will what?
Oh, yeah, that's the ticket on this one. I'll humble myself. I'll humble myself. See, some of this is going to take us going, you know, wow, I'm not made that way. I'm not like that. Well, good, but he was. Was Jesus humble? Yes or no? Did Jesus say, learn of me, I am what? Blank and lowly. Meek and lowly. And you shall find what for your soul? Rest. Instead of struggling, why don't people like me? Why can't I get along with people? Maybe if you would be like Jesus, meek and lowly, and humble yourself, you'll get some rest and find peace in your life. Humble, man. Be approachable. Here's the last one. Be what? Readable. I can what? I can love. What do I mean by being readable? It's almost like approachable, but it's a little different. My actions correspond with my, say it with me, my, and my. Now, if there's anything about me that I know, and I didn't know it for years, but my face is animated. And not everybody does that. Not everybody has that and does that. Dina, for years, would tell me, she could tell, years ago, she was at my other church especially, she'd say that when somebody sang on stage, because I've been a singer for years, when somebody sang on stage and they'd get off key, she said, oh my gosh, your face. Because I was looking at the audience and my face would contort. I didn't even know what was happening. I was going, oh my God, leave them, I didn't even know I was doing it. Guys, we got to work on the face, man, okay? Come on. So listen, the face, our words. People can read our face, that hard face, that stone face, that cold face, that angry face. The words. What do you mean? They can read you because you just said it. We heard you. You know? And it just... and then my what? My touch. Be readable by the way you reach out to people. Are you listening today if I drove you up the wall? Yes, thank you. Well, there's plenty of walls to climb. Have at it. Here we go. You're funny. So, how about this one? Is self-control a fruit of the Spirit? Yes, it is. So I will what? I'll be in control of the way I look, the way I come across. What's wrong with that? That's not being phony. Why do I pray on Sunday morning with seven men in a truck? I pray as part of the control of Gary Clark. Because if I came here some Sundays the way I'm feeling from the night before, the devil wrecking my brain through my sleep and not sleeping, but part of my control of me is get around seven men who pray for me and pray with me, and I get, it ain't spooky, you get in the Spirit and you get spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. You start to realize it's an honor and a blessing to preach and teach the Word of God to you people and love on you. This is not a hard thing I have to do. This is a good thing. And all of a sudden, changes my face, changes my actions, changes my attitude. And all of a sudden, I start reaching out and touching. See how that works? Yes or no? Praise the Lord. How many else would say that's true of you when you come here like that on Sunday? You sort of like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's thank Him for that. Come on, guys. Praise the Lord. Now, Clark, you wore us out. This is a good talk. It's good for us. Let's keep going, Raj. Here we go. I know I took longer on that, and I said I wouldn't. I lied. Three killers to relationships. I can't explain it in too much detail, but I'm going to go over it. Three killers to relationships. Luke 7, if you have a Bible, you want to go back and check it out in the Scripture, what I'm going to tell you from here on out is Luke 7. Luke chapter 7, one of my favorite Bible passages in the whole Bible because of what happens. And the Lord, Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, where shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? What are people like? He says, Jesus speaking, they are like what? Children. Sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, saying, we piped unto you, and you did not dance. We've mourned. And you didn't weep and cry with us. Clark, what'd you get from that? Hang on. He goes on to say, for John the Baptist, he's talking about what are people like. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you said of him, he has a what? A devil. Jesus speaking to the crowd, he says, I come and eat and drink with the folks, and you call me a what? A glutton and a drunk and a friend of low-life losers. Jesus speaking, but wisdom is justified. Say the word justified. Of all her children. What is that talking about? I've read this for years and years and years and years, and the Lord helped me over the years to understand a better understanding. There's a lot of things this passage can be saying, but the Lord helped me see something. Three killers to relationships. Number one. You don't respond like I expect. If you're always expecting people to respond like you expect them to respond, and they don't respond like you expect them to respond, don't let it be unexpected that they aren't with you much longer responding to anything you say. Do you hear me? Expecting people to respond a certain way will kill a relationship and kill the opportunity for a relationship. Did you hear me? That's number one. And it is what? Say the word with me. We piped and you didn't dance. We cried and you didn't mourn with us. And so what do? We take our ball and go home. And we don't have relationships with people. Number two, second killer to relationships. You are not like I am. That'll kill a relationship, by the way. Did you know that? Say. You're not like I am. Well, you're not like I am. Okay? But to judge you because you're not like I am, and to judge me because I'm not like you, is going to kill our relationship. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Say. Nothing wrong with being who you are, but why has everybody got to be like you? We do it worst in church. Well, y'all don't sing the songs we sing, and y'all don't use the Bible we use, and y'all don't dress like we use. Since when we got to be like all them anyway? Say. Say. Who made that up? It ain't in the Bible. I can't see it. I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know I'm made unique. So why shouldn't our church be unique? Because it is unique because we're us. Are you hearing me today? It'll kill a relationship. I can't tell you the number of people over the years that's come to fellowship and because I'm not like what they used to. That they ain't here. You know my answer? Good. Because there's a lot of people that ain't got nothing. They don't know Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. They're going to hell. That will love us to pieces. Because once they get saved and they love God and they know we love them, don't you think we can't grow a powerful church for Jesus Christ? I'll tell you that right now. Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. Man. Come on, come on. Come on. And it's not wrong to like certain things certain ways. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with it? It will kill a relationship, though, if you force that. Did you hear me today? Say, it will. It just comes across as what?
Judgmental.
How many of your favorite friends are people who judge you? Can't wait to go see them. They're going to judge me tonight. That's hilarious, ain't it? Third killer to relationships. I am right. And you are wrong. Oh, by the way, yeah, that judgmental, that's what they said about John the Baptist and Jesus. Remember what he said? I hope neither one of us can get it right or whatever. But in the last one is, it says, wisdom is justified of her children. That's what Jesus said. So the idea is, I'm right and you're wrong. You want to kill relationships? Hey, you got a cute girlfriend? Fella, let me talk to you. You keep telling her how wrong she is. And she'd be somebody else's cute girlfriend. Did you hear me say? Oh, you know, and how right you are. I'm right, you know. And you're just wrong. Can we go out Friday? No, I'm going out with Tommy. Tommy likes me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And even marriages, guess we can try to hold the Bible over the wife. Or the wife over the husband. Say, you know, you treat each other like trash. Listen. And yet, but the Bible says we're supposed to be married. It can say that all day long, but I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, somebody is quitting. Somebody's going to quit in that relationship and leave because that's just the way it's going to be.
This is good stuff. Amen? Jesus is trying to help us here. So three killers to relationships. We learned them. Here they are. Have childish expectations. Say it with me. Number two, be judgmental of others. And number three, now let's stop it right there. Think about that about Fellowship Church. Think about that about our ministry here. We shouldn't have childish expectations just because somebody did it somewhere else this way. I mean, it's childish to think that. Just because the church you came from had all this and that and the other and 19 preachers and whatever. Or your church looked this way or that way or you dressed this. Guys, we can't have childish expectations. Did you hear me? When people come in that door, we ought to be thankful they made a choice out of 15, 20, 30 churches in town. They chose this one. Why don't we roll out the red carpet, love on them, and welcome them here, and as grown people go, hallelujah, it's good to see you today. You listening? Say, come on. Also, will this kill a church? Judging others, yes or no? Somebody tell me. You have no right at this church to judge other people. If you come to this church on Sunday morning and you're talking down to people right now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're doing that under the guise of the devil. Let me tell you something right now. That is not the will of God. That is not the call of this ministry here. Are y'all hearing me? Yes or no? It's not right. It's not right. And it ain't us. It ain't us. It ain't us. You must be coming from somewhere else because it ain't us. Amen. Say, we don't want that here. And also, listen, we want to be humble here. And we don't want to justify our actions and tell everybody else they're wrong. Amen. Yes or no? See how that'll work? Are y'all all right? Message is going a little sideways on me here and there because I'm seeing all kinds of good stuff. Now here's the last thing we're doing, the truth. Are y'all all right? Hang in here. Don't. I got people dropping out on me. The truth. Sometimes Jesus told parables. This is not a parable. He was telling what we just heard. And it happened in living color right before their very eyes. The killers. Watch it. Watch the story. So Jesus was talking, and Jesus always gave His best. Say best. And one of the Pharisees, that's a religious leader, most of them did not like Jesus, were trying to trick Him. And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that He would come and eat with him. And He went into that Pharisee's house and sat down to dinner with him. The Pharisee invited Jesus, say it with me, because, say it with me, he thought, what? Would come and be with him. Why did the Pharisee think Jesus would come and be with him? Because Jesus gave his what? His best. See, he was approachable. He thought that he would come. And Jesus did. Keep watching the story. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, most likely a prostitute, a very, very, very bad woman, when she knew that Jesus was at dinner at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at Jesus' feet behind Him and she was weeping and she started washing His feet with her tears and she wiped them with the hairs of her head and she kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. Watch it. The sinful woman thought she could come and be with Jesus because Jesus gave His what? Do you see when you give your best, both the religious and the sinners will feel like they can come to you? Did you see that in the story? I did. But wait a minute. Keep reading. Now when the Pharisee, who had asked Jesus to come to dinner, when he saw that woman doing what she was doing, he spoke where? Within himself. Now keep that in mind. Saying within himself, this man, Jesus he's talking about, within himself. If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a prostitute. Wow. What happened? You know what he did? He did all the three killers. He did all the three killers. Jesus didn't respond like he expected him to. Did you see the killer or not? His response would have been, "Get away from me!" Well, his response, it would have never happened because a woman wouldn't have thought she ever could come to him. Is that right? So, see, that's number one killer. Look at the second killer. He judged Jesus. Now, he said it within himself, which goes back to the second thing I put up, the second series on the screen. Readable. His face must have been giving off some kind of disgusting look. Say. Or backing away, body motion. Right? Say. He judged Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would have known. Is that what he said? Sure he did. Number three killer, he did that one. He was what? Right. And who was wrong? Jesus. He justified himself. How do you think his relationship's going to go with Jesus in this story? What do you think's going to happen? You think this story's going to go too well? Say. Did you learn something right there? Keep looking. And Jesus, answering and said unto him, and called him by name, Simon. This ain't Peter, it's a Simon, a Pharisee. There are a lot of people named Simon. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. Why do you think Jesus spoke to him if he didn't say anything? Because of his body what? Language. He gave off some kind of disgusting thing. And Jesus won't let it lay. He said, I want to tell you a story. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them. The one that owed 500 and the one that owed 50. He says, tell me which of them you think is going to love the fellow the most for forgiving. The guy that he forgave 500 or the guy he forgave 50? And Simon answered and said, I suppose to whom he forgave the most. I imagine the guy that will be more grateful will be the guy that was forgiven 500 more than the guy that was forgiven 50. And he said, good answer. You rightly answered. Keep looking. And he turned to that prostitute. And he said, Simon, you see this woman? When I entered your house, you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she washed my feet with the tears of her eyes. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. Simon, you didn't give me any kiss when I came into your house. But since this woman came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. Simon, my head, you did not anoint, but this woman, she's anointed my feet with this precious ointment. What's the point? Look at it. You gave me no water. She gave me her tears. She had no expectation. Probably the only expectation that woman had was, wonder if they'll throw me out. Did you see her humility? Say, you gave me no welcome, Jesus says. She gave me her kisses. No judgment. As she kissed her feet, she was judging herself. She was judging herself. Did you see it? Yes or no? Number three, you gave me no worship.
She gave me anointing. She wasn't there justifying herself. She was there to praise me and hope I could help her in some way. She respected me. Did you see that? Yes or no? What a great story. And we could stop right there and we learned so much today, I think. Story ain't over. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. But wait a minute. And they that sat at meat, there were other people in the house. There were other people there. And they that sat at dinner with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sin also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go on. You're free. Look. The people at the dinner table, everybody in the house, they killed any relationship they were going to have with him. Jesus didn't respond like what? Number two, they were right and Jesus was. Number three, neither she nor Jesus were what? Neither she nor who were welcome there. Did you hear that? Was Jesus really welcome in that house, yes or no? No. Are we done, Raj? What we learned today? I think we learned a lot. Would you agree? Give others your best. Let's thank the Lord for a good word. That's a good message. That's a good message right there. That is a good help to us. And if you say, Clark, you've taught me this before, good. Maybe you're going to get it.